Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, busy day, busy time. A lot of good stuff going on, a lot of bad stuff going on. What a time to be alive. You know, just doing a little bit of personal reflection here as I was listening to the actually, I Googled over here on my computer over to Google. Doug Hagman says don't Google's not a verb. I went over here on Sports News. We're streaming up there again. I want to thank Mike Roach and the guys there at News at Sports News for allowing us to be able to do that. And I was just ruminating. I mean, I use big words every once in a while. Just they think I'm smart. I was thinking here as I was listening to the music and I heard the promo that was made. The promo to this show, that's about 15 years old. I used to do terrestrial radio here in Columbus, Ohio area. And I used that opening back then. The show was called Pass the Salt. It's heard on a Salem radio station. It was hot then, but I wasn't nearly as informed. I just thought, I thought I knew everything, but didn't know hardly anything. But I was never been one to hold back what I thought. So I had a popular little Saturday morning talk show there at WRFD in Columbus. And I was on a couple other stations. And you know what? It was a great training ground because the pastors hated me then. Because even back then, I knew something was wrong. I couldn't put a finger on it. I was a guy just been sued by the American Civil Liberties Union. It's amazing how this whole thing started my whole life, how the Lord violently changed the direction of my life. I don't know if I, as much as I want to say that I obey the Lord and I love the Lord, I don't know if I'd have followed it. I don't know if I'd have, had it not been rough, I don't know if I'd have done it. I was a football coach. I was pretty good at it. Enjoyed it. Everything, the whole thing to go along with Friday Night Lights and all that stuff. And when I got sued by the American Civil Liberties Union, it was a train wreck like you could never ever imagine. And I mean, one of the things I said is that, I called the local radio station and said, could I do a talk show? Crazy. They said, yeah. Couldn't believe it. Charged me $150 an hour or something like that. I've been all over the state of Ohio. And I was kind of a well-known figure because I was going through the whole battle with the ACLU. So everybody knew about the coach who was being sued and all that. And so I remember I did my first broadcast. It was amazing. And here I am. How many years is that later? Still doing the same thing. Gift of gab the Lord's given me. But, fun. Sometimes folks, let this be an encouragement to somebody out there. Sometimes the Lord's got to upset the apple cart to get you to change directions in your life because it's so easy for us to become comfortable. It really, really is. My wife and I yesterday, beautiful day here in Ohio. We went for a walk out alongside Buckeye Lake, which is a nice little, man, it's beautiful. Just beautiful. Sun is out. I said to her, why don't we just retire? Why don't I just withdraw? Just go back and let the world go to hell. We can come out here every day and we can walk our dog. We can go on vacations. We can do whatever. She kind of looked at me cockeyed, She knew we weren't going to do it. That's how so many people live out the part of their lives. I'm 66 years old and I get up every morning and I got to tell you, it's game day every day when I get up. And I just would hope I can inspire others to understand the times in which we live and the opportunity that we're just passing through here and the opportunities that we're missing every day to make a difference. And I'm proud of the guys in the queue and guys all over America, all over the world. That sounds arrogant, but it's the truth. Who are waking up and watching our show and saying, man, I never heard anything like that in my life. And as you know, there's something about truth, isn't it? Doesn't truth resonate with you? When you hear something, it's true, it's true. And the thing that we've been dealing with, the problem we've been dealing with in America is we rarely hear truth. Because we rarely hear it, it's like we're in a fog. could it be like a, just Victor just was saying something before we came on the air? He was talking about the blood, the voice of the blood, the innocent blood. Could it be that innocent? Hey, Mark Trump, could blood have a voice? Could it really, really have a voice and vibrations? Could that innocent blood that's
frequency
down through the sewers, that frequency, Mark, be blocking off our ability to think and hear the voice of God? Now, I'm not talking about those who are really working hard, digging deep to hear the voice of God, but the common person living their life, could the frequency of that blood crying out for vengeance, could that be happening, Mark? How else can you?
I don't know, Coach. You just don't know in the spirit. You just don't know.
How do we explain how so many people are so oblivious to what's going on? And at the same time, the unbelievable awakening that we see going on, what's happening in Texas in regards to abortion, what's happening here in Ohio today, the heartbeat bill is going to be signed here in Ohio today, going to be signed after 11 years. It's breaking out in 11 different, at least 11. I saw yesterday Dale Soshi said he thinks it's coming up in Louisiana. Are you in here, Dale? Is that a possibility that the heartbeat bill is coming up in Louisiana now as well? I don't know. I didn't even look to see if Dale's in here before I started talking to him. Well, I know that's what he said. And so we're building momentum. Things are going on. What if we shut off the constant drone of that cry of that innocent blood in America? My.
Hey, Coach, I don't think it can get quieter. I think it's just getting louder the more blood that's spilled. So,
brother, we got to stop.
Quieter.
Amen.
It's not getting quieter. I got a lot of great stuff I want to speak with you about today. And before I do, I'm going to bring in Mike Heath. It's Jared's dad, and Mike and Gary Pierce and Jared and some of those guys doing some background work for us on the Occupy event that's coming up. I'm going to read down through some. Jared, can you shoot up on the screen, buddy, that email that was just sent out today? I know it might be catching a little bit off guard there a little bit, but I want you all to be able to see it. Occupy, it's this weekend, folks. It's this weekend. We're going to have a great crowd. We are going to have, I'm telling you this, we may not have the biggest names in the industry, whatever that is, industry. We may not have any stars headlining. Rest is stars, the star. I'm telling you, the stuff that you're going to hear and you're going to learn this weekend, you're going to walk away from that and say, "Jeezy, criminy." That's what you're going to say. You see, it's like a movie that you don't think is going to be very good. And you go to the movie, and after the movie is over, you say, "Oh, man, I should have brought a lot of people with me." That's what's going to happen this weekend in Akron, Canton, Ohio. And you can still get in. You still can become part of it. It's $49. Now, listen, if you come walking up to the door, it's going to be $69. Okay, I just tell you, that's the way it is. That's the way the system is set up. If you're going to come Saturday, either one, register now and save yourself $20. You say, "Well, Coach, why do we have to pay 20 more at the door?" Well, we have there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes, lists and badges and all that kind of stuff that has to be done. And so we're trying to get all of our ducks in order so we don't have to be so pressured at the end to make all this stuff happen. So if you want to come to Occupy 2019 this weekend, it's $49. Go online now and register so that when you get there, things are easier for us at the gate. Plus you save $20, okay? And yes, the hotel does still have rooms available, but you have to tell them that you're part of Occupy 2019. Now, you don't have to stay at the hotel. You can go down the street and stay at some place that's cheaper. I do that kind of thing a lot. No big deal. But if you want to be right there where everything takes place, then you have to tell them that you are part of the Occupy event. And you get a great discount. Also, as I said yesterday, we now have a place for people who want to sleep in a dormitory style. It's $25 a night. It's about 30 miles away, 30 minutes away from the venue. You can bring your sleeping bag, your towel, your pillow, your toothbrush. They have showers. They have all that. It's a campground, and you can stay there for $25 per person per night. If finances are a problem for you, but you're going to have to email me and say, "Coach, I want one of those places." Coach@coachdavelive.com. Very easy. I'm Coach, and I'm at coachdavelive.com. Say, "Coach, I like one of those places," and we'll set it aside. So we've gone out of our way to make that happen for you. We're going to do live streaming. I'm going to bring Mike Heath in here a minute. Let Mike talk about that. Because I don't understand really how live streaming works, but we are doing it for the first time. So, Michael, come on in here and explain to everybody how this live stream thing works. This, for those of you who can't come and you want to see it, be part of it, you can do it right from your home. All we ask you to do is make a donation to Pass the Salt. Go to CoachDaveLive.com, make any type of donation you want to, and send me an email. Coach Dave Live said, hey, I made a donation. I want to be live streamed, and boom, we'll send you the code, and you can jump in here. Go ahead, Mike. Did I say that right?
Morning, Coach. If folks go to CoachDaveLive.com, they'll see the big icon at the top that it advertises the conference, Occupy 2019. Can't miss it. Click on that. It'll take you to the Occupy2019.com website. And at the top, you'll see live stream. Can't miss it. Click on live stream. Takes you to a page. And it walks you through how to get your password so that you can watch the live stream. Starting Friday night, we're going to live stream the whole event. Thanks to Rob Pugh, who's flying.
Yeah, Rob. Rob's a team player, man.
He's flying in from Wisconsin with the latest tech, an Apple iPad. He's donating to the cause, and apparently it does an awesome job. He's done it before. So we'll be live streaming using his equipment, and we've set everything up with a hotel, so we've got a stable connection to the internet, and we're looking for everything to work really well. So the entire event. Coach, we're hoping to do some huddling during the conference. Jared will be coming into the office to produce some huddling, a huddle during parts of the conference. Like, I believe you're going to be doing an activist event. Hopefully, yes, we can do multiple smartphone camera production, yep, like we do here in the morning.
Awesome.
So I think if folks can't make it, I believe that we're going to produce something that will be inspirational, educational, and interesting for them to watch on their phone or their computer or their television.
Hey, Mike, I've had a couple questions here. It's a good question. How long do they get access to it? Once they get access to it, they have it, right? I mean, is it good for 20 days, 30 days, 50 days? How long can they view it?
Oh, I see. We haven't really talked about the archive of the event, so...
I mean, here's what I mean. Here's what I mean, Mike. Once the live stream, I get it. The live stream, folks, I'm sorry here. The live stream, we're recording at the same time. So the live stream is a live stream. That's what it is. It's a live stream. The archives are something totally different.
Correct. We will have an archive of the whole event, but you're also producing a DVD, which is a separate production. So. I guess we'll have to discuss that and get back to folks.
Yep. All right. Don't want to get bogged down on that, folks. Listen, come and be part of this. Again, go to Occupy2019.com, and everything Mike just spoke about is right there for you. So, Mike, thanks for your work, Jared. Jared is always yeoman's behind the scenes. Appreciate all that. And, man, it's here. Gary Pierce has worked his tail off. We've had a lot of volunteers. Rob Pugh's coming down. We just got a lot of people. How about this one? Todd and Leslie and Lexi are coming. Todd Barm, and who's, going through that horrible thing with horrible battle with leukemia. Todd's driving. Told me last night they're going to be here. You talk about a warrior. Boy, does he have a testimony. So God bless everybody that's doing everything to make this work. Folks, I tell you, we can win. We can win, but we are so ill-equipped in this battle, so ill-equipped. And that's really why we're trying to make this whole thing happen for everybody. As many people as possible can be part of it. And no, it's not a money-making operation. For those of you who, we get the emails from people, are you guys charging for the gospel? No, we're charging for hotel rooms and internet streams and room rental. Yeah, we're charging for a lot of stuff, but we're not charging for the gospel. So you guys behave. Stop doing that. Hey, listen, heartbeat bill's being signed in Ohio today, or not signed, but being passed. State House, 1 o'clock. Any of you in the Columbus, Ohio area want to come down there and watch that historic event happen? That's going to be at 1 o'clock at the State House, open to the public. Big goings going on down in Texas. We're still fighting this fight, but we're going to win this daggone thing. It's breaking loose. They had one going on down in Tennessee. I just saw Chet Gallagher and some of our friends are fighting the fight down there. So we're going to win this thing. We have got to stop the slaughter, the killing of unborn babies. We have got to stop it. Okay. Now, if we don't do it now, God, Lord help us, man. Lord help us. Lord help us. Okay, anybody for the good of the group? For God, it's been 15 minutes already. I got to get rolling here. Anybody got anything anyone jump in here about? Folks, a lot of stuff going on, man. A lot of, the Clinton kingdom's getting ready to come down. There's a lot. Anybody got something they want to say? Doesn't matter if you do. Appreciate all of you. We got a good crowd in here this morning. Jared, I want to talk about a couple things right now. Jared, go to Hebrews 11. Faith Hall of Fame. Bradley Dean's coming. I got a couple of Bradley Dean videos I'm going to show you today that just kind of blew me out of the water. Lowell's going to talk to us a little bit about the just war theory, exactly what that really means. Folks, you better know this, and we've tried to warn you before. The left is not going to go down quietly. They haven't gone down quietly. If you really want to try to... Bradley Dean wrote about this. By the way, he's one of the speakers that we have. Bradley wrote about this a couple weeks ago about, he called them formalists, and I'll get to that in a second. Formalists. What is a formalist? I'll show you in a second. We have an entirely different gospel today than our forefathers lived, an entirely different gospel. And the reason we have an entirely different gospel is because we're too soft. We have everything at the touch of boom, 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 boom. Everything is so easy for us. You pull into McDonald's, the food's there. Wendy's food's right there. You don't have to wait. Fast food. Jimmy John's subs. You ever eat them? Y'all do the good. Freaky fast. That's how they made their mark in the market. Food's good, but freaky fast. Freaky fast delivery. Jimmy John says, I know this, my son-in-law owns a couple Jimmy John's. Their motto is when the phone rings, you order a sandwich at Jimmy John's, boom, in 10 minutes you have it. From the time it's made, they drive it to you in 10 minutes. Freaky fast. That's how they've made their mark. So we live in a freaky fast society. We're not very patient. We certainly don't want to work hard. We don't understand that you have to put your shoulder to the grindstone and push. And sometimes it's a long, treacherous, trudging attempt. The gospel of Jesus Christ, as we know it today, is not the gospel of our forefathers. You mean that old time religion? It is not the same gospel. Sorry, that hurts your feelings. It's not. We live in a gospel of escapism today. That's what we live in. Easy believism, easy escapism. We look around the world, people are losing their heads for the faith. You know, by losing their heads for the faith, around, oh, you may have to bake, you may get in trouble because you didn't bake some cookies for some homosexuals. Very few people losing their heads. People don't go to sleep at night with shotguns beside the bed, fearful that somebody's going to come in and cut off their head for being a Christian. But it used to be like that. It's been like that all around. We check our Christian heritage. It's been like that forever. Forever it's been like that. It's only recently here in the 20th century, especially since the 1960s when the hippies got rolling, free love, feels good, do it, tune in, turn on, drop out. Since that attitude, by the way, those hippies are the grandparents today. Look at the fruit of what they produced. You don't think there's a consequence to lawlessness, huh? Think there is? Look around. Look around. Look at the culture and the society. Look what we're dealing with. And so we've bought into this tune in, turn on. Maybe I ought to build a church and call that the tune in, turn on, and drop out church. Come and sit in here and wait for the rapture church. Tune in, turn on. Yeah, the hippies. Tune in, turn on, drop out church. That's not our Christian heritage. It isn't our Christian heritage. Jared, do you have Hebrews 11 up? Hey, well, hey, Dale, you left the meeting. I see him down. He's down there. Jared, now if this talks about faith, right? How about this? I'm not going to read the whole thing, although you need to. Hebrews 11. Now faith is a substance. There you go, Larry. Things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is substance and evidence. Substance and evidence. That's what faith is. In other words, you can feel it. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. By faith, Abel offered up to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Enoch was translated that we could not see death. I'm going fast. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of diligence. We don't believe anymore. See, the problem in America is people who don't believe. They don't believe. I'm going to say it again. I'm not going to get mad. People don't believe. Don't believe what? They don't believe in the power of God. They don't believe in it. You don't see it in the church. You don't see healings in the church. You don't see demons cast out in the church. You don't see the church exert its authority. Why? Because the people who are running Christianity today do not believe. They don't believe. Jared, Paul's right there. Go to Webster's. I would give a tip.
Coach.
Yes.
Would you say that we more like traded the instead of preaching the gospel, we preach more about the American dream?
I'd say that's what it is, right? Yep, that's what it is. As much as you can get, baby. Go for it all. Go for all the gusto. Get as much as you can. The American dream, the American gospel. So I was reading a commentary that Bradley Dean wrote today. And as I said, Bradley's coming to our conference. You don't want to miss him. He's going to speak twice. And he gave me a word I'd never heard before called formalist. F-O-R, form, A-L-I-S-T, Jared. Formalist. Look at that. Do you ever know there was such a word as formalist? Is one who observes forms or practices external ceremonies. One who observes forms or practices external ceremonies. One who regards appearances only or observes the form of worship without possessing the life and spirit of religion. Is this unbelievable? Folks, did you know this word even existed? A hypocrite, a grave face in the regular practice of ceremonies, having often gained it to a formalist the reputation of piety. In other words, they go to church, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. That is most Christians today. Now, I'm not talking about whether it's a salvation issue or not. I'm not even going to go there. But most Christians only have an outward appearance of Christianity. Would somebody say amen so I know I got a friend in the queue?
I'm away here. Amen, and way too many
amen.
Social clubs amen. Count on amen. That ceremony too.
Amen.
Formalist, a form of godliness, right? A form of godliness. Go ahead, Alan, is that you trying to come in? So I try and come in.
Yes, sir, Coach. We don't have a fear of God anymore. That's the problem, Coach. We don't have a fear of God. No respect.
We don't even really believe it. We really don't even believe it.
Amen.
Because if we believed him, we would be fearful of it, and we're not.
Exactly.
It's the fear of God that drives us to repentance. The idea that you're going to get your butt beat is what keeps kids straight, isn't it? Isn't that what discipline is all about? And isn't God the Heavenly Father? Doesn't he love us, discipline those of us he loves? And so if he's going to discipline those of us that he loves, we better understand he's capable of giving a pretty good spanking. And we don't even live. No, we don't believe him. We don't believe his word. We don't believe his miracles. We don't believe anything. We have become formalists, a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. Bradley Dean wrote about some of that today. Had anybody ever heard that word? I'd never heard it before. Never heard it before. So, Jared, let's go back to Hebrews, and let's go back to it's all these things by faith. Jared, let's go down about verse 27, I think. Maybe I'm guessing off the top of my head. I don't have it open here. There we go. Keep going. Good. Keep going. There we go. Okay. Let's stay right here a minute. Now keep going. This is all so good. Keep going to 31. There we go. Let's go to 32. Because it tells you all the great things that happened, right? Through faith. And then you hit verse 32 and what's it say? What more shall I tell you? I don't even have time to tell you about Gideon and Barak. And of Samson, I don't even have time to tell you what all those guys did. What'd they do? Well, through faith, they subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness and obtained promises and stopped the mouths of the lion. I don't even have time to tell you those stories. What? Hey, if I went out today and stopped the mouth of a lion, I'd be on the news tonight. They don't even have time to tell a story about that. Huh? Subdued kingdoms, obtained promises. Well, that would be on before it's news. Somebody did that today. They quenched the violence of fire. Who did? It's just nobodies that they don't have time to tell you about. They escaped the edge of the sword and out of weakness were made strong. They waxed valiant and fight. Well, they did what? They waxed valiant and fight. They fought? Who did? The heroes of the faith? They fought? So, wait a minute. Jared, underline that for me. I can't believe that's what it says. Does that say what it says? Wait a minute. Waxed valiant and what? Down to bottom. What? Waxed valiant and fight? Turn to flight the armies of the aliens? What? Well, they didn't know Jesus, so they would never have done that, I suppose. Women received their dead to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting a deliverance that they might obtain a better resume, not obtaining their best life now. And others had trial, cruel mockings and scourging. Yeah, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They making the news, is it? Not making the news. They were stoned. They were sown and asunder. They were sown in half. That'd make Fox News, wouldn't it? Somebody got sown in half. Some Christian? What? They were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, destitute, afflicted, tormented. What? We don't even know their names. Whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves in the earth. Why? They were running for their lives and fighting. And these all obtained, having obtained a good report through faith, they didn't receive the promise. Because God had something better in mind that they're waiting on us to pick up our baton and run with it. That's our faith. That's our Christian faith. You don't even hear about it anymore. Well, you don't want to stand up and fight. There's something wrong with you in today's American culture. They're slaughtering babies right in front of us, and my goodness, we're afraid we're going to make somebody mad. We're afraid that if we stop killing babies, that some poor woman's life's going to be ruined, or somebody's going to be offended at work, or some lady who pays big tithes sitting on the front row, her daughter had one, and oh my goodness, you're going to make her mad. What? Do you guys, we're teaching a different gospel in America today. Sad to say it. Now I'm going to pull something up. I've got Lowell's going to talk to us here a little bit about just, but not yet. I got to show you a couple of videos. I'm going to Jared, do the first one. Do the very first one. Black Robed Regiment. These are videos. I don't know if you guys follow Bradley Dean very much. Bradley makes all kinds of videos. This is about 5 minutes long. I'm going to get to it real quick here. Black Robed Regiment. Bradley made this one. This is staggering. The church has always been the change agent. Always has been the church. Now it's the hippies. Now it's the grandchildren of the hippies that are the change agent. And it's time for the pulpits, Christians, to stand up and push back. Go ahead, Jared.
I went at your bidding and passed along their thoroughfares of trade. I ascended their mountains and went down their valleys. I visited their manufacturers, their commercial markets, and emporiums of trade. I entered their judicial courts and legislative halls, but I sought everywhere in vain for the secret of their success. That is, until I entered the church. It was there, as I listened to the soul-equalizing and soul-elevating principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as they fell from Sabbath to Sabbath upon the masses of the people, that I learned why America was great and free, and why France was a slave. Alexis de Tocqueville, French historian, reporting to the French Senate in 1800. A few years before Dr. D. James Kennedy passed away, I spent an afternoon with him at his church in Florida. Dr. Kennedy was the founder of the world-renowned Coral Ridge Ministries, known for stating on national television regarding abortion, that is, while pointing his finger at his viewers, 4,000 die daily and 300,000 pulpits are silent. On one occasion, Dr. Kennedy told me that while he was holding a large convention at his church, the homosexual lobby was protesting him. A pastor attending the convention was shocked and asked, "Why is your church being protested?" James Kennedy corrected this pastor with a relevant question to his question. "You mean your church doesn't get protested?" Friends, Protestant has meaning. Protestant. America is looking for the Christ that the 78% of Americans claim that they serve. Agree or disagree with Reverend Charles Finney? Well, he stated, "Brethren, our preaching will bear its legitimate fruits. If immorality prevails in the land, the fault is ours in a great degree. If there is decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the public press lacks moral discrimination, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the church is degenerate and worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses its interest in religion, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in our halls of legislation, the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt that the very foundations of our government are ready to fall away, friends, the pulpit is responsible for it. How deprived is the understanding of the modern church when it comes to its own history? Nowadays, effeminate hirelings have infiltrated the pulpits. Pulpits they have no business occupying. And by the looks of them, I can see why the enemies of America are so encouraged. Instead of preaching against sin, transgression of God's moral law, 1 John 3:4, these hirelings accept sin, attempting to cover it with a false grace, read Isaiah 30, and in so doing, they teach their congregants to war against a just and a holy God, Micah 3:5. What a contrast to the preachers who thundered from America's pulpits before, during and after the Revolutionary War, causing the colonists to stand up to the face of tyranny. The British labeled them as the much-feared Black Robe Regiment. The British were not the only ones who recognized them as the bulwarks of America's independence. Mighty men they were of iron nerve and strong hand, an unbalanced cheek and heart of flame. God needed not reeds shaken by the wind, not men clothed in soft raiment, Matthew 11:7 through 8, but heroes of hardihood and lofty courage. And such were the sons of the mighty who responded to the divine call. Bishop Charles Galloway, 1898. The ministers of the Revolution were like their Puritan predecessors, bold and fearless in the cause of their country. No class of men contributed more to carry forward the Revolution and to achieve our independence than did the ministers. By their prayers, patriotic sermons, and services, they rendered the highest assistance to the civil government, the army, and the country. Historian B.F. Morris, 1864. The Constitutional Convention and the written Constitution were the children of the pulpit. Historian Alice Baldwin, 1918. Today, the professed church is attempting to flee from its responsibility to be part of the political process when, in fact, God is the one who gave government, read Exodus 18:21. The church is to overcome evil with good, and as our forefathers rightly stated, resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. And friends, might I remind you that God is always willing to give the church what it's willing to fight for.
Wow. God is always willing to give the church what the church is willing to fight for. Pastor Mike Spaulding, I'm going to throw you a curveball at you there, Pastor Mike. I see that you're in there. I don't know if you're able to come in here with us. You're going to speak on Sunday morning, I believe it is, Making the Pulpit Great Again. What's happened to us, Pastor Mike? Can you come in here, or are you tied up? Folks, I understand some people just listen as they're working and doing other things. It's the pulpit, see, folks. It's the pulpit. We are teaching a different Christianity today. It's a different Christianity. And if you look around and you see the fruits of the sissified pulpits in America, we got nobody to blame but ourselves. This non-confrontational, non-conflicted, don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, on and on and on. That's what we're dealing with. That's the mess that we have. The sissified Christianity. Folks, it didn't go stand. It didn't go away.
Dave, and we're letting the people who got us into this mess to continue telling us what to do.
Yep, that's right. Did you guys know this? I think I told you. Vic could probably help us, or maybe some others were. Down there in Texas, did you know that they were overwhelmed for the abolish abortion crowd that showed up? Over 300 people chose to speak. They'd never seen anything like that in Texas at all. 300 people, 300 Christians came and said, end abortion. What if 3,000 had come? What if 10,000 have come? See, we have got this defeatist mentality in our churches where we will not stand up and fight when it's very clear that we can win. All we have to do is watch the enemy, see how they do it, and they win. Why? They show up. So we showed up. You know what's going on now? Those guys down there in Texas, those legislators in Texas, they're wetting their pants because now they got to choose between the Republican Party and the Republican donors which don't really want abortion to end, and the people that were before them who held their feet to the fire, they don't know what to do. They're looking any – why won't righteous men – well, first of all, they're not righteous men. Why won't men do their duty and simply stand up and say, hey, sorry, 1973, Roe versus Wade science, I get why they made that decision in 1973. This ain't 1973. We got more than 1973 science, and everybody in this room knows it's killing a baby, and we're not going to let it go on. Why is that so hard? Why is that so hard? For people to say, you know what? The science has changed. We were wrong. Roe versus Wade was not the law of the land, and if it was the law of the land, it was a horrible decision, and we are going to make things right, right here, right now. And you know why they're in a quandary? Because they've never seen 300 people come and sit before them like that and demand it happen. It's going to be fascinating to watch to see what happens. Somebody come on in here, man. Oh, I've hollered all the time.
Coach.
Yes.
Coach, I tell them that they need to grow a spine. Leach, they say that if he really was serious about this, because the guy will make you believe that he's serious. He took that little girl that was one of the opposers, And he told her, I see that you're associated with a NARAL. So what's your position? And she said, I can't speak to it. So then I told them when I called the office yesterday, I said, Committee Chairman Leach, I would like for you to grow a spine. We have your back. You just That's need right. to go out there and do it. And they're saying that if he really wanted to, he wouldn't pass any legislation until HB 896 would be just the first one out of committee. That's what he needs to do, but sure he's not doing it.
Well, why isn't he doing it? Because he's not feeling the pressure from the people, because we don't care. I got to get Lowell in here.
Hey, Coach, read the comment I just posted by Bradley Pierce, who spoke in front of the Texas House. He's an attorney down there.
The Supreme Court is a constitutional body, and that's great. But you know what? Where the court ignores the Constitution, we must ignore the court. Boy, is that ever it. Is that ever it? Huh? Pardon me a second. Hold your ears. Who the hell do they think they are? And who do we think they are that we let them violate the laws of Almighty God? Hadn't always been that way in American boys and girls. Hadn't always. Lowell, come on in here a second. Lowell, I got your email. Jared, pull Lowell's email up there. And Lowell, I'm just going to let you take off on this idea of just war principles and what the heck we're talking about here, Lowell. Go ahead.
Okay, well, this came about. This has been a lifelong puzzlement to me. And we've all probably nibbled around the edges at it, and it's what the great thinkers deal with. It's, you know, one, how do you reconcile, you know, the Jesus of the New Testament and the Sermon on the Mount with, like, the orders that same God gave Joshua in Canaan, you know, go in and kill them all. You know, how do you reconcile those two things? You know, when do you resist? When do you endure? All of those types of things that we face as individuals, we face as societies, we face as cultures. So it was last brought, you know, to the front of my mind. And Coach, you and I have talked about this a number of times about proper authority. You know, with your interview with John Bonham, I guess, the guy that, you know, did the a bombing. Okay.
John Brockhoff. Yes, John Brockhoff.
Right? John yes, Brockhoff.
Yep.
Okay. And when he did it and why he did it and then why he stopped and that type of thing. So, you know, that got me thinking again. So I basically went out and just turned back to some of the instructions they gave me when I was in the military and what they teach officers about lawful orders and unlawful orders, and popped up just war principles. Okay. And that's a Christian concept for a just war.
Hey, Lowell, hang on a minute. Look, for those people educated in public schools, he's not just saying just war, just righteous war, a just war, a righteous war, not just war, right? A righteous war. Go ahead, Lowell.
Okay, so when and how can Christians fight? Okay.
There you go.
And by what authority? So because of time, and I want to get, you know, other people thinking on it, I'm going to I'm going to start at the end of the of my research, and my research hasn't been exhaustive, and I'm still, you know, trying to fill in holes. But over 1600 years, the greatest thinkers in Christendom, you know, and the guys like St. Ambrose, St. Augustine, St. Thomas of Aquinas, Martin Luther, John Calvin, Hugo Grotius. If you've never heard of Hugo Grotius, he's the Dutchman that gave us the rules of the seas, okay, maritime law, and that type of thing. So all these big thinkers have hammered out this.
Because we've had wars. We've had wars forever, haven't we, Lowell? Some have been just
wars. Yes, we've had wars forever. And here's the other thing. I'm surrounded by peace churches, and I know peace churches drive you up the wall too, and like many of us. So I'm surrounded by it, so it's always, you know, we'll pray about it, and the war of the spirit, and all of this stuff, and we're conscientious objectors and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, you know, they live here in a bubble of liberty created by the blood and toil and death of Christian men over 1,500 years.
Preach
and
it, Lord.
They're too good to fight. They're too good to fight. So anyway, all right. So so let's come down to what these great thinkers said. They said, number one, to be a just Christian war, it must be declared by proper authority. Number two, war must be the last resort. Number three, it must be for a just cause. Number four, it has to be prudent, meaning there needs to be a chance for victory. In other words, it's just not a waste of life. Number five, it needs to be conducted by a moral means. So take these notes, declared by proper authority, one, war is a last resort, two, must be for a just cause, three, prudent, four, five, moral means. Now let's spend a little bit of time just backing up the list and talking about what they mean.
That was the Declaration of Independence. That was the whole debate of the Declaration of Independence, wasn't it? Go ahead.
Yeah, here. Well, let's read the Declaration. Sometimes I read too many of our founders' writings instead of scripture into stuff. But we've all heard the, you know, the story, you know, the text that says we hold these truths to be self-evident. So everybody knows that. And we all, to a lesser extent, understand when it says that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it's the right to people to alter or abolish. The part that's often left out is the third part, which says, verbatim, prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed.
Mm.
So it's in our nature to let things lay, to hope they get better, because you step over that line, you step into the line of resistance, it's not too much further to violence and then chaos. Okay, so everything that you become comfortable with, you know, disappears and you're out there basically in the law of the jungle.
Folks, chaos is coming to us. Please understand this. Chaos is coming to us. Go ahead, Lowell.
Right. So, so let's.
Lowell, stop a second. You know what just hit me? Mm-hmm. You know what hit me? The left is applying these principles. The left is attempting to do away with government. That's what the left is doing. Go ahead, Lowell.
They're trying to kick it into chaos. They're also disarming us by using the Alinsky rule, saying, well, hold them accountable to their own beliefs, by saying, well, you're Christians, you can't fight. Okay, you can't resist. And every time you do, it's, well, is that what Jesus would do? They mock you with that. Well, they don't understand what Jesus would do because most of the church doesn't understand what Jesus would do. Okay.
So
let's talk about these just war principles bottom to top, because it's the top one that's always the question. Okay. So war must be fought. It must be done with moral means. Minimize damage to innocence. That's it. Don't hurt anybody that doesn't need hurt.
Okay. That was the whole big deal about dropping the atomic bomb, wasn't it, Lowell? Whether or not
Save lives. The rules of war. You can't shoot anybody that's not in uniform. You can't execute prisoners. You can't torture prisoners. Once a prisoner is taken, you have to take care of him and feed him to the same extent that you feed and care your own men. Civilization, Protestant Christian civilization, rules apply in war. Okay, mercy. So we all can embrace that. The fourth element was it has to be prudent. In other words, it's just not flip. It's just not, you know, fight at the drop of a hat. Does there exist hope for victory? It shouldn't be just merely a gesture of defiance. You always hear, you always see in all the movies, one commander comes up to the other commander that's surrounded, just like the German commander came to the American commander at Bastogne, and he says, you know, you have fought well. You know, if you continue to resist, there will be more senseless bloodshed. More men will die for no reason because you have lost. That's what this fourth rule is talking about. Minimize senseless death. So is there a hope for victory, or is it just a gesture of defiance? Is it just to feel good? Okay. The third element was it must be for a just cause. Kings and dictators fight for land. They fight for gold. They fight for glory. They fight for women. Okay. Anything that makes them feel good. Christians can only fight for a just cause. The most important cause is to restore peace. Peace is justice. Okay. The justice is the rule of law, the rule of God's law. Okay. What we come to expect in a civilized society, what we have come to expect in the American society. Okay. So must be for a just cause. The second element, working our way up the list, is always the last resort. And here's where always the arguments come by, because we're all hotheads. Some of us are. Okay, the guys here are pretty much hotheads. Like, okay, go yep. to guns. You know, let's just get it done, get it over with. But war has to be the absolute last resort. All peaceful means have to be exhausted. So, you know, that once it's a Christian charge, we're to go and try to make peace. But that peace does not mean surrender. Okay, and that's just what we've been taken down the line with the peace churches. Okay.
Yep.
And as you call them, the icicles, you know, in the pulpit, it means a restoration of peace, a restoration of justice, a restoration of rule of law. That's what peace is. It is not just the absence of war. Okay. Now, the final, and this is always the big question, declared by proper authority. Okay. What is proper authority? Well, these big thinkers have said it's one of two things. It's the church or it's the secular. Now, here's the key. A king can declare war. A government can declare war. But if the church doesn't back it, it's not a just war.
Mm.
Okay. Likewise, the church can say this needs to happen. You know, this is peace is absent here. Justice is absent here. Rule of law is absent here. The innocent are being slain here. We must intervene. We must do our Christian duty to save the innocent. And government disagrees, or perhaps government is involved in it. The church, then, is the proper authority. It is always the proper authority, okay? Because that's the rule of order. God ordains government, okay? Period. So
yeah, but we have a problem, though, folks, because in our thinking, yes. Sorry, Lowell, in our thinking, we think church, we think Presbyterian, Methodist, Lutheran. No. The church universal. In other words, the church being the called out one, the ecclesia, who represent Christ, not necessarily some denominational head, but a body of believers. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, that's it. So, and it's the church, the followers of Christ, the disciples of Christ. And how do we know what Christ's standing orders are? How do you know? He left it. He wrote some stuff down for us, didn't he? He left us an operator's manual. So we refer to scripture to determine, mm-hmm. you know, when the church should say we need to mobilize for war, and then it needs to be influencing government to the extent that it can use government for the ends of God, okay, which is to keep peace, restore justice, you know, protect the innocent, all of those types of things. You know, that's the end of the, I can, you know, I didn't, given time, I won't take us through where that comes from, but if you just Google just war principles, you'll see all of that. Okay.
How about that last line there, Lowell? churches that fail to form in their members the moral character that would make such integrity and bravery possible are not really preparing them to be soldiers, but to uncritical nationalists and militarists instead.
Or one could also say pacifists.
Pacifists, yeah.
Right. Because what you have now are governments that are formed of militarists, and you know, you don't think of Pelosi or Schumer or Obama as being militarists, but they are. Because if they get control and you do what they say, what are they going to do? They're going to send big, ugly men with guns to make you do what they want. So that's militarist. Yes.
To God, Lowell says that to God, a higher duty on when to fight, when to stop, when to keep fighting, when others might have quit. Your loyalty to God will determine that. Lowell, that's well done. Anybody got any comments on this?
Yeah, Coach, the separation of church and state was the cover to stop the church, and they bought it.
They bought it. We bought it. Yep, we bought it. But see, it's arising, isn't it? It's awakening. Look at what's going on in Texas. Look at what's going on in Ohio. Look at what's going on in Tennessee. Look what's going on in Mississippi. Look at what's going on in Missouri. They're beginning to awaken, folks. We are sitting in the midst of I believe, the greatest awakening in my lifetime. See, we slept through it. Those of us who are children, products of the 60s, we slept through it. Yeah. And now there's an awakening. People know something is inherently wrong. But because of the blah, blah, blah of the blood, the innocent blood, the currency, frequency, they're not able to hear it. And God's using abortion as, I believe, as that great awakening. People understand what are not only our duty to the unborn, preborn, but what our government's supposed to be all about.
Hey, Dave, can I ask a little question?
Yeah.
And Law, it's just a question. In the biblical concept of just war, and I like what you shared. I don't have a whole lot. I'm in disagreement. Are there biblical examples of where that was brought forward? Of what is a just war? Paul, Peter, the writers, what was there a time when that concept was brought forth? I like what you've said. I really do. And I think there is a time for it. Is there any biblical time frame?
Well, in my mind, this is the way I've reconciled Old Testament, New Testament, is that the Old Testament was very physical. It was dealing in this world. And the New Testament is in the spiritual realm. Okay, and that's why the focus is on the war of the spirit. But in this existence, in this dimension, the war is twofold. I'll refer to the shirt that Denny gives out, you know, for his Iowa brigade. You know, it's got the man there with two tools, you know, a sword in one hand and a hammer in the other as they build the walls. Well, that in my mind is what we are to do in this world. We have the sword of the spirit in one hand, because you will not obtain victory until you have spiritual victory. But likewise, you have to have the sword of the flesh. You have to have steel in the other hand, because sustain spiritual if you don't have physical victory.
Jared, now, bring up
the Bible. In the Bible. Roger. You need to watch a little bit more of Ironside. That was my rhetorical flourish before I respond to your question.
All right. Yeah.
You know, I think that number three point bears just a little bit more light on it. For a just cause, it says, but it says to restore peace, justice, and rule of law. So when a person can look around and see that their church, I use the word loosely, society, neighborhood, city, state, and country are lacking peace, lacking justice, and lacking rule of law, then it's time to go into action. If you see all this stuff and you say, well, I'll wait till it gets worse before I do anything, shame on you if that's your attitude.
Okay, boys. Hey, listen, we're running close to time. Chad just put up Ecclesiastes, says there is a time for war. Another video by Bradley Dean. This is important to watch. This video is because of lack of Christianity in the American church. Lack of Christianity in the American church. Play that, Jared. Bradley Dean.
Have you ever passed through the furnace and been taught by the Spirit of God that your natural gifts go for naught unless you have the fire of heaven in your soul? You cannot go on heavenly missions without heavenly fire. This week, I had a conversation with a friend of mine about the lack of Christ in the professed Christians in this country. The conversation led into what people think Jesus Christ came into the world to do, turning his character into something that it is, in fact, completely opposite of who Christ was incarnate. Christ was one who spoke boldly, John 7:26, and not as the scribes, who came to bring a sword and not peace, Matthew 10:34. Rather than Christ in power as a conqueror, Revelation 6:2, the professed church has attempted to make him look and act just like themselves. Exodus 20, verse 4. Tolerant and fruitless, fallen and defeated, when in fact nothing could be further from the truth. Hebrews 12:2. Friends, it never ceases to amaze me the complete incompetence, corruption in government, abortion, homosexuality, lack of obedience, so on and so forth, that I've seen in the professed church in America. Yes, I said the professed church. And of course, I'm making the distinction between the goats and the sheep, keeping in mind that nobody rebuked the religious hypocrites more than Jesus Christ himself, Matthew 23. So then, how do we reconcile the present church with the men of old that proved the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? John G. Lake rightly said, Christianity did not come into the world apologizing. It went to slay the powers of darkness and undo the works of the devil, and it lived in holy triumph. Let me explain, friends. The life of a Christian is warfare, an intense warfare, and it is a long life contest. John Calvin said, "Whomsoever the Lord has adopted and deemed worthy of his fellowship ought to prepare themselves for a hard, toilsome, and unquiet life, crammed with very many and various kinds of evil." Or what about George Whitefield, the great field preacher? He said, "The riches of his free grace cause me daily to triumph over all the temptations of the wicked one, who is very vigilant and seeks all occasions to disturb me." Christianity is a battle waged against invisible foes who are always alert and ever seeking to entrap, deceive, and ruin the souls of men. The Christian life is no picnic or excursion. It is not entertainment or a pleasure trip. It involves effort, wrestling, and struggling, Acts 14:22. It demands putting forth the full energy of your spirit into order to frustrate the foe and to be in the end more than a conqueror, Romans 8:37. It is not a flower-strewn path, no rose-scented affair. From start to finish, it is spiritual warfare. It is a battle, not a game. From the moment they first drew their spiritual swords, Christian warriors are compelled to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, 2 Timothy 2:3. What a misconception many people have of the Christian life. How little the average church members appear to know the character of the conflict and its demands upon them. How ignorant they seem to be of the enemies they must encounter if they are to serve God faithfully, succeed in getting to heaven and receive the crown of life, read Matthew 7:13. They scarcely seem to realize that the world, the flesh, and the devil will oppose them and their onward march, and will totally defeat them unless they give themselves to constant vigilance and unceasing prayer, Revelations 12:17. And it is just at this point I mean to highlight the professed church's greatest defects. There is little to nothing of the soldier element in it, 2 Timothy 2:3. The discipline, self-denial, spirit of hardship and determination that belong to the military life and are so prominent in it are lacking in Christianity. Yet, my friends, the Christian life is warfare from the beginning to end. Remember, God is willing to give the church what it is willing to fight for, but you do not get the victory without the fight.
Yes, sirree, the Christian life is one of warfare. We have been so missed. Folks, listen, come and join us in Akron, Canton this weekend, Occupy 2019. We're going to equip you to be able to fight the fight. Many of you don't know how to fight because you don't know what it is you're supposed to do. That's what makes our event this weekend different from any other event that you're ever going to attend. Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.